Colossians 3 is the text that I'll use by way of invitation this evening, beginning in verse 18, going down to the end of the chapter. The admonitions the Apostle Paul gives here are with regard to what we might refer to as interpersonal relationships, relationships with other individuals. He starts off in verse 18 by saying, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord." And notice also verse 20, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." The reason I skip verse 19, because both of those are admonitions that are indicative of submission. Wives submitting to their husbands, children being obedient to their parents. But there are charges to the men that are given in 19 and 21. 19, "Husbands, love your wives, and do not be bitter toward them." I've emphasized this a lot, and it applies to fathers as well. In verse 21, "Fathers, don't provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." I think the greater responsibility with regard to this relationship, whether it be the husband-wife relationship and the concept of submission, or the parent-child relationship and the concept of obedience, the greater responsibility falls upon the father in both of those situations, or the husband and the father. And that is because when an individual puts themselves in a position of subservience or submission, it is a vulnerable position. And it can be destructive to their welfare if they are abused in that. And we see that very commonly today. So if husbands are bitter toward their wives, and wives are called to be in submission to their husbands, it can be very destructive to them. They're trying to do right, but the husband is bitter toward them and mistreating them. Same thing with regard to children. They're to obey their parents in all things, but the father is provoking them. And it's a very destructive thing to them because they're trying to do right, but they become very much discouraged as they cannot please him, or the provocation is something that is constant. There is also the call for bondservants to be obedient to their master according to the flesh. And by the way, this is the important concept I wanted to establish found in the latter part of verse 22. "Not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God." I want you to recognize that ultimately, behind all of these admonitions is the reality that by doing it as God intended you to do it, that what you're doing is serving God. And so the wives are to submit to their husbands, not because the husband demands it, but because God does. Husbands are to love their wives and not be bitter toward them, not because the wife expects it or requires it, but rather because God does. Same thing with regard to bond servants. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. So that's the reason we do what we do, in order to serve God and be accepted by Him. Now the last verse, verse 25, is also something that is significant. It says, "He who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done." We talked about karma. But understand this, we're not talking about karma here, where if you treat others badly, you're going to receive bad things in return. No, we're talking about judgment. What we're talking about is the judgment of God. An individual who is disobedient to God in these matters, as a result of that, will be repaid according to how he has conducted himself. If you disobey God's commands, God will hold you accountable for that disobedience. Now, the statement that it ends with, when it says, he who does wrong will be repaid for what he's done, it said, there is no partiality. I want each of us to acknowledge and understand that we are the same in the eyes of God. Now, we commonly say that to indicate that we are all equally important to God. But it has that double-edged sword. None of us have a greater importance to where God would make an exception for us. See, I think that that is something that is commonly in our minds at least. Yes, I'm not living like I'm supposed to live. I'm not doing everything the way I'm supposed to do it. But God is going to allow me to go to heaven anyway. God's going to allow me to be in a relationship with Him despite my disobedience. And it doesn't work that way. We will be repaid by the things that we are in accord with, the things that we have done in the body, whether good or bad. God shows no partiality. The wonderful thing about that is that He sent His Son to die for the sins of all men. Doesn't matter who you are. If you're here this evening, Christ died for you. And it doesn't matter who you are. God has given the means by which you can be reconciled to Him through faith, as the grace of God has been extended to all men. So if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you are sorrowful for sins and determined to live for Him, you are willing to confess Him before men, say that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and be baptized to have your sins washed away. It doesn't matter who you are. You can be saved just as the Jews on the day of Pentecost, just as the Ethiopian eunuch, just as Saul of Tarsus, and all the others that are listed in the book of Acts. There is no difference. God shows no partiality. If you want to be saved, you can be saved just like everyone else has been saved from the time in which the church was established until today. But don't think that you're going to be an exception in the eyes of God, because God shows no partiality. If you want to be saved, you must submit to the gospel call. If you need help in that regard, if there is anything that we can do to assist you getting your life right with God, we offer ourselves to you. The invitation is extended now. Would you come while together we stand while we sing?